So yesterday we got through the first 20 psukim in Perek Ben Shemot. So let us continue. So Vayikra Moshe lechazik neishar leimor Israel. Vayomer leim mishchu kulachem tzon lemishpachot heichem v'shachatu apasach. So now Moshe tells them to take the sheep. Lukachtem agudar ezov dvaltem b'adam asher basaf. Igatam mashkof el shem zuzod min adam asher basaf. And then put the blood on the side posts of your door, and don't leave all night until morning. Right, and here you have this, it's ambiguous in this pasuk, right? God will pass over, but then it sounds like the mashchit is coming in, right? So is God doing it himself? Okay, fine. Right, I mean, he won't, but that means that the mashchit is the one destroying, right? God is, exactly, the destructive force, right? Whatever it is. And you shall keep this forever. Okay, good. Well, let's just finish this. So what do you think? Right? So these psukim sound very much like these are not a mitzvah ledora, right? And that's in fact how we paskin. We don't do it. So what's shvartam at davar hazeh? Right. So it could be, in which case you might think you have to do it, but that would entail there being a mashchit in all generations, but it depends what the object is. But you're right, there is some it could, well, chok just means law. Yes and no. But it could be, right? It could be. Or shmartim is about what comes next, or it's about the general idea of Korban Pesach. And then you'll come into the land that God promised you, and you will keep this work. And if your sons say, "What is this?" which, at least in the Haggadah we have it, is whose question? The Russia, right? What? Yes. Yes. The Amartem, and what did you say? Amartem Zevach Pesach Hu Adonai Asher Pasach Al Batei Bnei Yisrael B'Mitzrayim B'Nakvo B'Mitzrayim V'Pateinu Hitzil V'Yikod Ha'am V'Yishtachavu. And you'll tell them that when God passed over into whatever the Jews' houses in Mitzrayim, He saved us, He killed the Egyptians, and He bowed. V'Yalchu V'Yasu Bnei Yisrael Kasher Tziva Adonai Moshe V'Aron K'Nasu. There you go, and they do this. Okay, so what mitzvot do we have listed in these 8 psukim? 9 psukim? So we have more details of the Korban Pesach, which we assume is only in Pesach Mitzrayim, though, in truth, as Kobe notes, it depends how you want to read Yishmartem, right?
Are we counting the institution of always talking about for like all the time as it is going to?
No, I mean, I think that would be a qualifier of the mitzvah, right? Meaning, when does it apply? Correct, meaning, no, for sure, but meaning, saying something is forever is not an independent mitzvah, right? Meaning, it's a qualifier of when the mitzvah applies, but...
I guess, in a way, it depends on the wording, because I feel like there are some instances where something like this would be worded as, like, you need to set it up.
Possibly. No, for sure, right? But again, it wouldn't be, right? It's clearly important halachically, whether it's independent, probably not, but it's definitely important in terms of qualifying what the mitzvah is, because we don't always have that, right? What other mitzvah do we have here? Right? Not leaving your house during Moshe, that seems to be likely a mitzvah l'shah, right? Only a mitzvah in Egypt when, you know, there's a destructive force going around. And what else? What other mitzvah do you have?
Part of the
teaching your children, right? This is the, right, we now see the psukim of teaching your children. Sibra Yitzin to Mitzrayim. Okay, good. So as we asked with all the other mitzvot, So first of all, is it L'shar L'derot? Is it for the time of Egypt or forever? Obviously, forever. The whole point is in the future, they will ask you what happened, you'll recount the history. How is it connected to the other mitzvot? Is it an independent mitzvah? Is it linked to other mitzvot? What mitzvot and how? No, just here. So far, just here. Is it independent? Is it linked? What is it? It's a link to what? Where matzah? Right here. What is it linked to here? Pesach. Thank you, Mordechai. It's linked to Karban Pesach. Right. Now, again, it's more than that, right? Remind me again, as we already saw yesterday, one second. We already mentioned yesterday. Who makes a big deal, halachically, of the link in this pasuk between Sibri Yitzchak and Karban Pesach? Rabban Gamliel. Right, remember? Kol Shelo Omer Shlosha Dvarim BePesach Lo Yatzei Yedei Chovatel. Right? And what do we do, right? We specifically do not pick up the Zeruah, which is not the actual Karban Pesach, but we do, the minhag is, you pick up the matzah, right? And the maror, you point to them or whatever you do. Why? Because the physical object and its connection to the story, right, seems to be integral to either. Now, this is a very important lumdish question, maybe we'll get to before Pesach, but I'll throw it out now, and then maybe I won't have to be sharing it later, right? What's ambiguous here? I mentioned it yesterday. What's ambiguous in Rabban Gamliel's phrase? Rabban Gamliel, Amar Kol Shelo, Amar Shelo Shadar Melo, Lo Yatsa Yidei Chovato. Which Chova? Or Sipur, right? Meaning, which is it? Is it that Sipur requires the objects, or that the objects require contextualization? Right? You understand it could go either way, right? You didn't fulfill your obligation. Which obligation? Pesach or Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim? Is it that Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim is a subsection of Pesach, the Karban? Right?
As in you can do the, or is it, do the Karban without the Pesach?
Right, meaning, how do you look at the mitzvah? Is it that Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim must be done with show and tell, right, of Pesach, Matzah, and Maror? Or is it that Pesach, Matzah, and Maror require... Do we have other mitzvot like that? Do we have other mitzvot which are fundamentally, right, physical, active mitzvot where the contextualization of the mitzvah and its history is actually part and parcel of the mitzvah? Can you think of another? What? So, tefillin. Okay. Why tefillin? And what do you mean? Good. And what's the contextualization? So it definitely has reasons, but is it intrinsically part of the mitzvah? That's the why, but is it part of the what? Right? Is there a way in which the story that motivates tefillin is actually part of the mitzvah? Maybe the bracha.
Don't tell a story.
So they don't tell the story, good. So is the story intrinsic to it? Okay, good. But do you see the scroll? Okay, good, therefore. So who thinks it is? There's a bet. Okay. What? Oh, very good. So what would be the proof in the pasuk? There's a very key word. You're not wrong. What's the word? It's a four-letter word. What's, no. What does that mean? I mean, that's an important word. There's an even more important word. More important word. Lema'an. Lema'an. You put on You put on tefillin so that you will remember. What does the word leman imply? Right, that it's not just part of the why, like philosophically, like this is actually part of the mitzvah. You do this to connect it. Who makes that point? Because you're right, someone actually makes that point, that if you don't think about the reason of tefillin while you're wearing it, you actually aren't, you go to the mitzvah at all. Right, there is one major, major posek who makes that argument that whenever the Torah says lima'an, right, that you do a mitzvot so that, like, what's the most famous? Sukkah. Lima'an, sit in Sukkot, lima'an. Yedudor dechem ki besukkot or shafti et b'nei Yisrael. Right? So there is a major posek who argues that the reason the Gemara spent so much time trying to figure out is it zecher to the Hatz, is it zecher to the Anan HaKavod, is because in Sukkah, if you don't think about the history behind it, it's not just that you lose something, it's that you lose it all. Right?
Oh, yeah, who?
Good, right? There are other mitzvot as well. It's who makes this point? If you get it right, I will be very impressed. If you don't get it right, I'm not upset. But if you get it right, I'll be very impressed. So which major posek argues that whenever the Torah links a mitzvah to its rationale using the word lima'an, that the story is critical, that cognizance of the story is critical to the very fulfillment of the mitzvah? A little bit too early. I don't actually expect you to know. So, but if you did know, again, I'd be very impressed. The answer is the Bach. The Bach. Who's the Bach? Yeah. Okay. Who's the Bach? What? What? Who's the Bach? By the way, guys, just tell me. Some of you told me yesterday what you actually want to be called, so just when you talk, just tell me what you actually want to be called. First name, last name, nickname. Yeah, okay, do that. So what do you actually want to go by?
Just Obvious Fine.
Just Obvious Fine? That's fine. Okay. I don't know. So who's the Bach? Oh, good, Mordechai. You're doing what you're supposed to do. The Bach, the Beit Chadash, what's his name?
Circus,
yes. Rabbi Yoel Circus. Right? When does he live? Good. And what does he do? Where does he write? The Bach is what? It's a commentary on what book? So the Haggadah Bach, yes. But what's his major work? He does write a brief commentary. What? He also has Tshuvot. That's true. It's not his major work, but it is true. He has Tshuvot, he has Haggadah Bach, and he has on the Beit Chadash, on, which is where the Bach comes from, on the tour. On the tour. Right? So in Siman Tafresh Chaf Hei and Orach Chaim, the Bach makes this point. So Tefillin is a very good example, right? Where the story might, in cognizance of the story, may actually be intrinsic to the fulfillment of the mitzvah itself. But that's a diuk in a pasuk by a Bach. Give me a pasuk. Give me a pasuk. Tell me a mitzvah which not karba pesach masar maror. Give. Well, maybe same as the Bach, but is there a verbalization there? There might be a cognizance, but is there a verbalization? Do you have to verbalize it when you get into the sukkah? Is there any mitzvah where you must verbalize the story in order to fulfill the mitzvah?
Megillah?
Megillah is not Torah, right? So Amalek is interesting because you have to verbalize it the way we paskin and the war, but they're not necessarily at the same time, right? Come on. Okay, I'll give you a clue, okay? We will read these psukim in 2 weeks. Depends how you look at me. This week is Shoftim, so not this week, not next week, but the week after that. Parashat Ki Tavo. It's Rishon of Ki Tavo.
Kavi? Parashat HaBikurim.
Because when you bring... Yes, because Bikurim, when you bring Bikurim, the first fruits, what do you... You have to do, right? You have to do Mikra Bikurim. You have to recite the words, which you all better know. You'd better know those words. Because we spend a heck of a lot of time on those words. When at the Seder, the majority of the Seder is Midrash on those three, four psukim, you know? Arami Oved Avi. Remember that? That's the psukim. From Bikurim, Parshat Ki Tavo. Yeah. Okay, so, right, we have other mitzvah where the contextualization of the mitzvah verbally is actually part of the mitzvah itself. Right? So that may be going on here as well. Well,
how about redeeming your son? Is that...
We have a minhag to verbalize, you're correct. That's a minhagon. Right? It's the minhagon that when you redeem your son, we do the verbal, would you like to keep your son? You can either have your son or or the money. Which one would you like?
Oh, wait, benching.
What?
Benching.
So, well, benching is actually, right, there isn't an act. That is the act. The verbal, the speech act is the act. again, right, these are less clear, right? The verbalization is not as clear. The clearest one is probably Mikra Bikurim. And Sibrishi and Mitzrayim. Okay, good. But what we see is, as we've talked about a lot, is that these mitzvot are connected, right? That there is some intrinsic connection between Sibur Yitzchak Mitzrayim and Korban Pesach, and now you understand where Rabbi Gamliel gets his idea from, right? Again, which direction it goes in is not so obvious, but it definitely exists. Okay, let's move to Perek Yud Gimel.
Wait, so the issue he's dealing with is whether like the main mitzvah is the Korban Pesach Matzah or whether it's Talmud Torah.
Or which is qualifying which, right? They're both clearly part of the mitzvah or independent mitzvah, but which qualifies which? That's not actually clear.
Mean, like,
the fact that, meaning, is it that you're not mekayim the mitzvah of Sipur Mitzrayim unless you do show and tell with Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, or that you don't fulfill Pesach and Matzah, and Maror fully if you don't contextualize them with the story? Those are two opposite approaches.
There's a difference between them. It sounds like both times you're saying that they're both equal parts of the mitzvah.
There's a big difference. What about now when you're not a Korban Pesach? Are you not?
One is reliant on the other.
Okay. Right. Which one's reliant on which? Right? Or both ways, right? Or both, yes.
Good.
It could be. It doesn't sound that way. It sounds like they're doing, but it could be. Okay. So let's go to Perek Yud Gimel. Now, Perek Yud Gimel, what is the topic of Perek Yud Gimel? The first mention of Perek Yud Gimel. Bechor, right? Pigeon, Pesach, Chamor. The pigeon of the Bechor. V'yedaber Adonai Moshe Lemor. Kadesh Lichal Bechor Petach Kol Rechem V'nei Shal Badam V'yimad Lihu. Right? So the firstborn of, that opens the womb of a human being or an animal goes to God. V'yir Moshe Alam Zachar Deyam Azar Shere Tzadim V'nei Shal V'yedavadim. Ki Bechol Degar Oshi Adonai Etchem Nizeh V'lo Yachel Chameitz. Remember this day, for God took you out of Egypt on this day, and you shall not eat chameitz. Now, what's interesting about this, even if we leave aside the main topic here, which is pigeon habachor, what's odd about this pasuk, or what's important about this pasuk? And what does not mention? And what else? Matzah, very good, right? We said in Perek Yud Bet, every time we saw matzah and chametz, what did we see? That they were intrinsically connected to each other, right? What do we suddenly see here? Chametz as a standalone, right? So this is going to further complicate our discussion because in Perek Yud Bet, it sounds like they're intrinsically connected. And here, chametz seems to be itself independently connected to the narrative of the Exodus, right? Such that it is invoked when we're talking about a different mitzvah, which is itself a commemoration of the Exodus, right? But matzah isn't mentioned. Right? Now, what this is always a complicated thing is what happens when you have a series of psukim which links the mitzvot and another series of psukim which do not, right? We've already seen that once, even just in the psukim we saw. What mitzvah did we see that has a double presentation, one which it is connected to another mitzvah and one which it is not? Korban Pesach and, right? Korban Pesach. And is right, yes. Is the matzah connection? Then one place it's connected to Korban Pesach, and one place matzah is presented independently, which is what leads Chazal to believe that matzah is doraita nowadays, but maror is not because it doesn't get the repetition. But now we have chametz being repeated in the context of, again, the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim and mitzvot that are related to it, but not in the context of matzah.
Not everything you eat on Pesach.
But correct. But nothing that can be chametz. Nothing can be chametz unless it could be matzah or vice versa.
Sure. My point is, I don't see a reason that they need to be connected. I think you could just don't eat chametz at all. And then another mitzvah, eat matzah. I don't think they have to necessarily
be connected. Right. But what did it sound like? But in Perek Yud Bet, it sounds like they were connected. Remember, we saw that very odd pasuk where there, right, it goes back and forth between chametz and matzah over, right?
Right.
Right. But you're right. If I didn't have that pasuk, I could have said these are two separate rules. Eat matzah, don't eat chametz. And you just read this pasuk, you would say that, yes, the prohibition against chametz is independent of the positive mitzvah to have matzah. Right? But that's why it's important to read all the pasukim, right? Because we have Perek Yud Bet, where it sounds like they might be connected. Perek Yud Gimel, where it stands alone. And then you got to figure out, so what does that mean halachically? Then it says, Hayom atem yotzim b'chodesh ha'aviv. you're leaving now in the spring. V'haya ki v'yacha adonai lecha al eretz ha-kenani v'achiti v'amari v'achivi v'ayvusiyash v'nishba'al avotecha latet lach eretz avat chalav udvash v'avata avodah azot v'chodesh hazeh. When you come into the land that God has promised you, the land flowing with milk and honey, you will serve God with this service. What would you think that service would be?
Pesach.
I would have guessed Pesach. Right? Because why? If you didn't read the next pasuk, what would you have thought? I'm not asking you. So you could think it's not any comments based on the pasuk before, but avodah is usually a active, not passive, right? And it's often a carbon related, very good, sacrifice related, right? But you're right; it's not what it says. Or petarechem, and then suddenly out of nowhere, what do we get? Shivat yamim tochal matzot uva yom ashvicha gladunai matzot yachel et shivat yamim v'lo yireh lecha chametz v'lo yireh lecha zor v'chol gulecha. Right. So what? Now what's the problem? Yeah. What's it connected to? This is an even weirder parak in many ways, right? Because the context of the parak was petar chamor. What is petar chamor? Is it a Pesach mitzvah? No, but it is a Mitzrayim mitzvah, right? It's a zecher to a Mitzrayim mitzvah, but it's not a Pesach mitzvah. But you don't only redeem firstborns on Pesach, right? You redeem them when they reach the right age, right? Okay, good. But what you see is they are connected because they do have but the Pesukim sort of very weirdly integrate them, right? Meaning, implying that there is a certain connection between the Pesach Zecher Letziat Mitzrayim Mitzvot and the year-long ones. Good. So let me ask you a theoretical question. Do we have any mitzvah of, let's say, Sefer Yetziat Mitzrayim during the year? Yeah. Thank you, right? Thank you, Gobi. As David read yesterday, right? Yesterday morning in his Halacha Yomid, right? From the Rambam. We do have some sort of storytelling obligation throughout the year, right? What the difference is between the daily mitzvah, which we fulfill through the third paragraph of Shema, which we talk about Yetziat Mitzrayim, and that which you do on Pesach is a very, very important question. But you understand that they must be somewhat connected, because otherwise Pesach matzah doesn't make sense in this context unless there is a connection between all the other mitzvah that invoke Mitzrayim and the intensification of that on Pesach. And what do we get in these psukim? What's the connection between chametz and matzah? Again, pretty... Yeah, right. Again, we get that very, very eat matzah and don't have chametz. Again, that connection. And what else do we get? We get new mitzvah, which is... Lo yira elecha chametz. You can't see it. We had lo yimatzeh. Shall not be found. How many, right? Good. Are those two ways of saying the same thing, or two separate mitzvot?
Or two aspects of the same.
What?
Or two aspects.
Or two aspects of the same mitzvah. Okay, good. And guess what? That's going to be a major question in Masechet, which is how are those connected?
Why would you think like it's two aspects, or two different mitzvah? I mean,
isn't that what I'm asking you?
Well, no, I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, the Ten Commandments are repeated twice, and some of them are worded differently, but they're not two different mitzvah. Even though the word is
okay, good, right? So you might think that lo yira and lo yimatzeh are the same thing, right? You might. What? Maybe.
Like, there's nowhere else in the Torah where just because it's worded differently, at least I'm aware.
Okay, good, right? So it could be the same mitzvah. It could be they're separate. I mean, that's part of the question we have to answer. You're right. It could be just like, yeah, certain mitzvah we have repeated multiple times in the Torah in slightly different ways, but count them as one mitzvah. You're right. And sometimes, don't.
Like where? Where do we have where they don't and they are two separate mitzvahs? Like where they're worded, it's the same thing, but it's worded differently and therefore we count them as two different.
So. Well, you use the Yeser Ada Dibrot. So let's say, according to many Rishonim, Lo Tachmod and Lo Titaveh, even though they're similar, are actually two separate mitzvahs.
Oh.
Right? So in the first Yeser Ada Dibrot, you have don't covet as Lo Tachmod. And then in the second one, you have Lo Titaveh, don't desire. You could have said the same thing, but most Rishonim actually count them as two separate mitzvahs. They're different. You're trying to get me really far afield here. It's good. So how many mitzvot are in the Aseret HaDibrot? What?
Count them as separately.
What? Yeah, probably 14. Yeah, potentially up to 14. But according to the, right, well, think about it. What's the first mitzvah? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, according to who? The Rambam. But the Ramban thinks it's not a mitzvah. Right, Mordechai? It's not a mitzvah, right?
Yeah.
That believe it, Anochi Hashem Elokecha is not a mitzvah, the Ramban. It's an introduction, right? Which would lead you with a 9 mitzvah, right? What does Aseret HaDibrot mean? What does Aseret HaDibrot mean?
Ten
utterances, statements, words, utterances, right? There are not 10 commandments, right? There just aren't. There just aren't. There are 10 utterances. They may include more or less than 10.
Are we going to have a share later in the year about like about Matan Torah, like what was actually given on it? Or like,
about what?
About, are we going to have a share later in the year about Matan Torah?
What about it?
Well, like, what was given at it? Why is the 10 commandments so important? Or
probably. Probably not by me. Probably okay. That's probably going to be in either Hirschberg or Ginsburg's department, right? Okay. And what was given? Does he do that? Like, what was given at Sinai? What? He teaches Misora on Wednesdays. So. Well, I don't know what's in his curriculum. I feel like. I mean, I can, but I assume it gets covered in other things. But I'm okay. And then you get Pasuk Chet, Higata Levincha, Bayom Ahu Lemor, Bavur Zeh. And you will tell your son on that day, because of this, God did as when I took out of Egypt. So now what mitzvah do we have? Right? Sibri Sid Mitzrayim, tell your children, right? Is it connected to the other mitzvot? Bayom Ahu. Very good. What's Bayom Ahu? How do you know? You said the Haggadah. Bishah, Bayom Ahu, Bishah, Shem. Matzah umrarim munachim lefanecha. Very good. Right? Again, that's Rabban Gamliel. How does he know you need all of them? Until now, it's only been Pesach. Now he says, no, but Yom Ahu. What's that day? It's the day in which you have all these mitzvot. Talashah. It's tied to Korban Pesach. It's a different story. Right, so again, you see that Higata Levincha is, now, this pasuk happens to be a very hard pasuk to translate, because what does Ba'avur Zeh mean? Right, it could mean that you do these mitzvot because God took you out of Egypt. Or what does Rashi say? Or the Ibn Ezra? Ba'avur Zeh. He says what's the simple pshat here? God took you out of Egypt. You don't do Pesach. The Ramban says this pasuk means you perform Pesach Matzah Maror because God took you out of Egypt. Rashi says no. God took you out of Egypt so that you would be Mekayim Pesach Matzah Maror.
Could we eat?
Okay, Rashi, right? Ba'avur shakayem mitzvotav. God took you out of Egypt. You got it backwards. You don't do Pesach Matzah Maror because God took you out of Egypt. God took you out of Egypt so that you would do Pesach Matzah Maror. If Rashi and Ibn Ezra are right, what does that explain about this? All these Pesukim? How you could have the mitzvot of storytelling, remember we asked this yesterday, before the story happened. Well, if the reason you're going to be allowed to go out is because you're Mekayim the mitzvot, is it important to tell you in what zchut you will get to go out? Yes. Right? So that count, right? That read by Rashi and Ibn Ezra is going to be very important.
So let's say the first Pesach we can tell that it's because we're doing this right now, God is the one.
Yeah, right? Because we are engaging in these religious things and this is our new life from now on, man. Right? God is going to take us out of Egypt.
That's true. That Ba'avur is part of that. I thought that if you had
Ba'avur was to remember their suffering, but if we're only remembering their, like, that only goes one direction, heck, goes both directions.
That's right. That's right, and you might have to revise what you think about the mitzvah, right? Because obviously, the way once you think about it, you're gonna have to revise the way you think about Pesach Matzah Maror and Sibur Yitzchak Mitzrayim. Yes,
okay.
Yes. Just like you have to rethink what it means that eat matzah because you will leave in haste. So now eat it leisurely, well, or eat it in, right? Eat it in artificial haste because you will later commemorate the fact that you left in haste. I'm also dizzy. Yes, right? Okay. V'haya l'chod al yad chal ishgon b'in echel amant yitar nai b'ficha k'yad chazak al tziyach adon amin tzrayim. And it will be a sign in your hands and between your eyes, which is tefillin, but we'll leave that for now. V'shamarta et ha'chuka hazot l'mo adam yamim yamima. And then, if you skip, Yud Aleph, Yud Bet, Yud Gimel, continue the laws of Peter, of Pidyon Bechor, including Peter Chamor. Anyone ever do a Pidyon Peter Chamor? Fun times, fun times. No, that's Arifa, but Pidyon.
If you redeem it, then you just, right, you redeem with a sheep. If you don't,
yes. When I lived in Toronto, my upstairs neighbor bought 20 donkeys waiting so that to have a firstborn donkey that would be male so that he could redeem it, and then they gathered together like 5,000, I don't know how many people, it's like several thousand people in one of the schools, and redeemed the donkey for a sheep, and then had a shochet for a sheep. No, they shafted the sheep in my backyard, and the blood just ran. Oh, his backyard. I was renting like a basement apartment in his house, and the blood just dripped down, and then had like a barbecue for all the donors, like in the backyard. So, you know. Yes, this was a fundraiser. Yes. Of course it was a fundraiser. Yeah, I don't want to get into these sagot, but sure. But yeah, it was interesting. You know what? You got to be very creative in fundraising. So, opinion Petra Chamor, why not? Why not? Yeah, but this is better. What do you mean? I was there. It happens. What are you talking about? I have no answer to that question. I have no answer to the question of why you had never heard of something that's an explicit pasuk of the Torah. That is something I do not have an answer to. Okay, pasuk Yudalel Vayakish Alchav and Chamachar Lemor Mazot. And then when your child shall ask, you shall tell him the story. Is this connected to any mitzvah? Right, so good. So it seems in Pasuk Tedvav, Vayhi Kik Shafar Al Shachinu Vayrogel Naiko Bechor Beres Mitzrayim Bechor Adam Vad Bechor Behima Al Kain Ani Zovech Ladonaiko Bederechem Ascharim Vechor Bechor Ben Ayavdeh.
But this seems to be super linked to Petah Chamor, and then the next pasuk to Tefillah, right?
Yeah. Again, and yet, how do we understand this pasuk? Is this part of, right, Lahalacha? You should know from the Haggadah. How do we read this pasuk as connected to which mitzvah? Sipur Yitzhi Mitzrayim, right? Because, right, Mazot. Who's Mazot? The Tam, right? Mazot. Right? Okay, good. So, to summarize what we've seen now in Parak Yud Ben Yud Gimel, what we've seen is, how many mitzvah? We have matzah, we have maror, we have karban pesach many times, we have lo yimatzei, we have don't find chametz, don't see chametz, tashbitu, destroy chametz, we have petra chamor, we have tefillin, we have a whole bunch of things, and then we gotta figure out how they're connected, right? And we don't know. In some circumstances, sounds like, that matzah, maror, pesach are connected to sipur. And sometimes it sounds like sipur is independent because it's linked to all types of other mitzvahs. Sometimes matzah and maror sound like they're connected. Sorry, matzah and chametz sounds like they're connected. And most of the times, we saw at least one pasuk where chametz stands alone. Right? Maror only gets mentioned in the context of pesach and never independently, whereas matzah is repeated, sometimes not in the context of karban pesach, despite the fact that it's also mentioned in the context of Karban Pesach. And like I said, the major job, therefore, that we have this, and then, as we've noted, some of these may be repetitions, some may be independent. is Bali Ra, Bali Matze, are those two different mitzvot? Is it the same mitzvah expressed twice? Right? What's the connection between Tashbitu, the active mitzvah to destroy, and the passive mitzvahs of don't find chametz or don't see chametz? Are those, right? It could be that those are two sides of the same coin, right? Meaning that you only have to destroy it so you don't see it. Or they could be separate mitzvot. I have to destroy it. And if I don't destroy it, right? We're going to have to figure that out, right? And as we'll see, right? One of the questions that very famously is raised by Menachos Chanoch is, well, in order to figure out the nature of Tashbitu, Bali Ra, Bali Matze, what do you need to figure out? What would happen? What would be the test case to figure out the nature of Tashbitu and Bali Ra, Bali Matze and how linked they are? What would be the test case to figure out how the active mitzvah of destruction and the passive mitzvah of don't find chametz, how are they related? What would be the test case?
Hey, what was Tashbitu?
Destroy chametz. Or, right, so you destroy some chametz and not all, and what's the other test case? If you don't have chametz. Right, you have no chametz to destroy. Do you have to buy it? That's the Menachos Chanoch's question. Yes, do you have to buy chametz to destroy? No, you don't need chametz to make matzah, so you need flour. Not yet. If it was, you couldn't have matzah, right? Flour that you buy in a store may be chametz, but that's because it was mixed with water before. To clean it. But fundamentally, no. Like flour, but in principle, no. So bleached flour will have been exposed to water before, and therefore it might be chametz already, yeah. But if you had flour, which was not, if you had matzah flour, it would be fine, right? You're allowed to bake matzah on Pesach. Right? Okay. So these are the questions we're going to have to deal with, but you see already how, right, all these questions which are raised by the Gemara, raised by the Shon Ha'achron, you see that a careful read of the Psukim, right, forced you to ask these questions. Yes, Mordechai.
The fact that it says make up for all these different mitzvahs,
it's possible, right? So Mordechai is right. We also have to ask, what do we do with all the different psukim that talk about Sipur Yitzchak Mitzrayim? Are they different mitzvot? Are they the same mitzvot with different angles? Or as the Haggadah would have it, right? What's the Haggadah solution to this? Different people. One mitzvah, but different types of people get different types of answers, right? So the Haggadah's answer to it is, why is it repeated? Not to teach you different mitzvot, but to teach you that the mitzvah is person dependent, right? How you teach it. That's exactly what. So you could go farther, like Mordechai is doing, and saying these are independent mitzvot. The Haggadah very clearly doesn't and says it's one mitzvah. And why do we have so many repetitions? Can I get arba banim? Now you understand what he's saying? What is the Haggadah saying? Is it four mitzvot? No, it's one mitzvah. Keneged arba banim dibratara. But it repeats it four times because there are different types of people who you educate. Now do you understand what the Haggadah is doing? Very good. So Kobe asks, but wait a second, how can you derive it from these? Well, that's a good question because these are not Pesach mitzvah. They're not even good. Yes. Correct. Yeah, there's other names, right? And in the Yerushalmi, you'll see that it's right. Like in the Yerushalmi, that's not even what they're called. Like, you know, they have different names.
Okay, what is the Haggadah saying? The four things are one mitzvah.
Well, it clearly says the four are one mitzvah because it's just saying that it's not four mitzvah. It's keneged arba banim debrat Torah. Each of these psukim reflects the way you fulfill Sibur Yitzchak Mitzrayim to a different type of son. Now speak. Oh, that's always a question in the Torah, right? Well, as you see, we get more, right? So I just gave you some of the others that Devarim Vav, right? We have two psukim where we get it again. Ki yishalcha v'nechamachar lemor ma'idot v'achukim v'meshvetim asher tzivad unay aleinu etchem. When your children will ask about all the laws. So now here, what does Sipur Yitzchak Mitzrayim seem to be linked to?
Laws and statutes.
Yeah, which ones? Yeah, thank you. All of them. And and you'll say Avadim Hayinu. Maybe, right? Because that's much of Dvar. It might be in Eretz Yisrael, but it's clear that the Sipri Yisraim stand alone from Pesach, Matzah, and Maror in some sense? 100%. Nothing else is mentioned here, right? What about in Dvarim, Perek, Tet, Zayin?
Wait, because of the Chacham, because of the Chacham, that's another example that the Yitzhak Mitzvah is linked to the laws.
Yes. And what about Dvarim Tet Zayin? Shamor Chodesh Aviv Asita Pesach Ladonai Lecha Ki Bechodesh Aviv Asiach Ladonai Lecha Mitzrayim Laila. Right, guard the spring month and make a Pesach for God, because God took you out in the spring at night. V'zavach the Pesach Ladonai Lecha Tzonu V'akar V'makom Mashir Chad Ladonai L'shaken Shmo Sham, and you shall sacrifice it from sheep or cattle in the place that God chooses to dwell. Right, have His name dwell. Lo tochal alav chametz. Oh, good. In this pasuk, which mitzvah is chametz linked to? For carbon Pesach. Good. Now we have another aspect. So until now, we've seen chametz independent, chametz linked to matzah, and now Dvarim introduces a third possibility, which is chametz is linked to carbon Pesach. Very good. Lo tochal alav chametz. Very good. And is that going to be important halachically? Good. When? Oh, very good. The 6 hours before, on the 14th, when you can shech the carbon Pesach, but you can't. But it's not chagamatzah, yet you're not bringing matzah. Why is it that, as we're going to see, there is a biblical prohibition to eat chametz the 6 hours before Pesach? Where does that come from? Here, because chametz is also linked. Now you understand where Chazal come up with a biblical mitzvah for the 6 hours before?
Yep.
Before the 15th, right? Meaning Chatzot on Erev Pesach. Very good. Why does that apply nowadays? Very good. But yes, lahalacha, it applies, and the question is why? Lo tochalav chametz. But then, if you weren't confused enough, you'd say, aha, chametz is linked to the Karban Pesach. So, good. That works for the first four words of the pasuk. What's the next words? Shivat yamim tochal lav matzot lechem oni. So for 7 days eat matzah. Wait a second. Right? What if we just linked it to matzah again? Very good. Ki b'chik mazon yatzad eretz Yisrael l'man tizkor yom tzidcham eretz Yisrael kol yimei chayecha v'lo yireh lecha sor b'chol gulecha shivat yamim. But now it's clear. Now what are we talking about? Lo yireh, don't see. Sor this time for 7 days. Right, so now you would say, aha, what are we doing? The leaven, which I mentioned this to guys. What is sour again? Sour is leaven, right? It's like sourdough starter, right? Because they used to... Okay, I did this for some of you guys, so bear with me for a minute, okay? What's the difference? Chametz is... What's chametz? Flour that is risen, right? Flour that is risen. What is sour?
That's a sourdough starter.
Sourdough starter. Good. What is sourdough starter? So nowadays, the way you make things rise is with yeast, which is isolated, right? The fungus is isolated. But historically, you couldn't isolate it. So the way you got yeast was from the air. The way you catch it is by mixing flour and water. Correct. That's sour. Because that's different. Because sour is not...
Because sour makes things come in.
Sour is not edible. Sour itself is not food.
Oh, you have to put it with flour.
Correct, meaning this is like, think about a petri dish with bacteria or fungus growing. That's what sourdough starter is, just you eat it, right? It's not really food, right? That's the point. It's not really edible, but is it chametz in the sense that it's risen flour? Yes. Is it food? No. Correct. They're the same thing. Yeah. What? You can. Right? That's sourdough bread. Correct. That's why we will make it. Did anyone buy the materials? No, right?
I forgot.
That's fine. We'll do that. But we'll do that, okay? At some point this year, we'll make sourdough starter. You'll see it.
Bread?
We'll make bread. And we'll break bread. I've done it before. It's fun. And then you actually understand what sour is. Once you do it, like, I can keep explaining to you, but until you actually do it and watch it every day, you don't quite get it. That was my experience anyways. Okay, so in these psukim, it sounds like chametz is linked to Karban Pesach. Except, what about in Pasuk Dalet? V'lo yera lecha sor b'chol gulecha shivat yamim. Don't leave it for 7 days. So now what is chametz linked to? Chag HaMatzah, the 7 days of matzah. So this Pasuk... Very good, except what about the second half of the Pasuk? V'lo yalin min ha-bazar sh'sbach per v'yom rishon l'boker. Except you think that we've transitioned away from talking about Karban Pesach, and then what do? Talk about Karban Pesach, very good. Right? Yes, that's my point. Lo tuchal izbach ha-pasach b'achat sh'arech asher adonai alecha notein. Lach. Ki emel ha-makom asher adonai alecha l'shakein sh'mo sham tizbach ha-pesach b'arev. Right, and then we say you'll bring the Karban Pesach. And then you will cook it, right? That's all problem because elsewhere it says you don't cook it. Here it says you do cook it. So not surprisingly, that's a big discussion in the Kachim program. And then in case you thought that we were only talking about Karban Pesach, just to further confuse you and remind you how connected these mitzvot are, what does Pasuk Chet tell you? Oh, Sheshet Yamim. And now Chazal get totally confused because, oh, wait a second, seven? Wait, six? Sheshet Yamim Tochel Matzah Uva Yom HaShvi'i Tzeret Ladonai Tolech Alot HaZem Lacha. Just, A, we return to our discussion of matzah, and we call it 6 days and not 7 days. So, what problem will that create for Chazal? Everything, good. And how are they going to solve it? Let's see if you remember how Chazal solved that particular conundrum. So, Chadash Yashan and 6 days Rishus, 1 day Chovav. To eat matzah, and 1 day, right? There are 7 days you eat matzah, of which only one of them must eat matzah, the other six you can. Right, well, here's the problem. What does Tochal mean? Or you can't eat. Right? For 7 days, tochal. Either you can or you must. Right? You may or you must. Right? Very good. So, this is why I want to read the psukim. Because now if you want to understand why this mesechta is complicated and why it gets confusing and how these mitzvah are connected, you realize that the psukim are doing everything in their power to, well, I don't confuse you, but they're doing a good job of that too. Right, but of showing you how different facets of these mitzvot, in the sense that some of them they're connected, some of them they're independent. They're connected to different way, right? In different ways, right? Different time periods are mentioned, right? As we saw, we don't know when Yom HaRishon is. We don't know if we're talking 7 days, 6 days. And these are the problems that we need to deal with in the Mishnah. Okay,
wait, is the Gemara going to like ever explain, or are we ever going to explain like the logic behind why the Torah does it like this and not in a more clear way?
We will do our best as we are going through.
Is there a logic to why it is?
I'm sure there is. I don't know if we'll be able to solve every problem, but okay. So now, very briefly, I want to turn to the Rambam. Right now that we've seen the Psukim, before we actually launch the Gemara, I want to see sort of a... Hilchot Chametz Matzah. So let's make a few comments now that we're ready to understand. Okay, so first things first. The Rambam calls these halachot, hilchot, chametz, u-matzah. So you tell me, why does he call it chametz u-matzah? What, if you just knew the title of these halachot, what would you, why might you think he would call it that? Based on everything we've seen in the Psukim, right, why might he call it hilchot, chametz, u-matzah? Because chametz and matzah are linked. So, now, if you didn't look at the koteret, what mitzvah would you expect to be mentioned here?
What you have to do for the matzah, like you measure into the matzah, and what you have to do for
right,
the
matzah and?
Chametz.
Good. Is that what he mentions?
No, he doesn't talk about chametz.
No, he does. He does. Right? He does.
in the first chapter.
No, in the Koteret. The mitzvah that he's going to cover in the entire section. So what are they? Shlola chal chametz b'yom arba asar mechatzorei yom v'mala. Don't eat chametz from... What? Yeah, it's the introduction, yeah. Don't eat chametz from chatzorei on the 14th. Lashbit se'or me'arba asar. To destroy se'or... Yeah, so here there's a very important girsa issue, because we'll see that this mem is not so clear. Me'ar basar. What does me'ar basar mean? On or by. Right? May, right? On the 14th, or it must be destroyed by the 14th, or on the 14th. Right? We're going to see that that's very important. Right? Shalo lechol chametz kol shiva. Shalo lechol harovet chametz kol shiva. To not eat chametz for 7 days. To not eat a mixture of chametz for 7 days. Shalo yera ech chametz kol shiva. Shalo yimatzei chametz kol shiva. So does the Rambam count? Bal yera bal yimatzei is one mitzvah or two? Two. Le'echol matzah b'leilei ha-pesach. So those first seven, do they make sense here? 100% they make sense. What's the odd man out? Mitzvah chet. L'saper b'tziyat Mitzrayim b'oto ha-layla. To tell the story of Tziyat Mitzrayim. Now what's missing here? So what's missing here and what's weird about what is included? What? So Karban Pesach is missing. That's not so surprising because it gets its own halacha in Karban Pesach. Right? Good. Maror is missing. Why is that important? Because what is Maror linked to? Very good. Because as we saw in the Psukim, Maror is very clearly linked to Karban Pesach. So Karban Pesach gets its own halacha. That's not shocking. But Maror, what? What? So that's exactly the point. That it's not surprising the Maror doesn't end up here, because as we saw, Maror is intrinsically connected to Pesach, and that we already saw in the Psukim, so we should expect that. So it's not so weird that Maror is left out. What is weird that it's included is Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, because... Right? So that, A, you might think goes in Korban Pesach, or it might get its own halachot, or what might you have expected? That this would be called Chametz Matzah U... But now it could just be that was verbose, right? Just too many words. But it is odd that we have it called Chametz U'Matzah, and we include Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim under Chametz U'Matzah, right? So the title Chametz U'Matzah implies a connection between the two, which we've talked about. But the fact that Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim doesn't get its own halacha but gets under Chametz U'Matzah, what might that point to? Very good, right? Is that the mitzvot of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, all those hints that we saw that they are, that somehow that story is intrinsically linked to the mitzvot of the night, right? That seems to be true. And what does the Rambam do to, besides for including Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim and Hilchot Chametz U'Matzah, without putting it in the title, what else does the Rambam do to point to the intrinsic connection between them? He does something very important. What does he do? Between Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim and the mitzvot halayla. Beir mitzvot halayla is just, he ends all halacha. The explanation of these are b'prakim halayla, in these coming chapters. What does he do? You have to be very medayik with the Rambam. What? Very good. What does he say? He doesn't say it's a mitzvah l'saper Yetziat Mitzrayim. What does he say? B'oto halayla. What layla? What? Exactly, mitzvah Zayin. Lechol matzah b'leilei ha-pesach. Good, if we mentioned it anywhere else, but there is no other mitzvah Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. Is it Sipur? Very good. Is there a difference between Sipur and Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim? Yeah, yes, there is. Right? What the difference is, we'll see. Right? But the Rambam is very clear that this mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, even though it's independent, it is conceptually linked to matzah, and therefore he doesn't just say that the mitzvah is Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, it's L'saper Yetziat Mitzrayim be'oto halayla, on that night being the night on which you were eating matzah, and right? So you see already that, look, right? Let's go over what we've seen even just in the Koteret, the title in the Koteret. He calls the halachot chamino matzah, which implies, as we've seen over and over, that these the halachot are intrinsically connected. And then, even though the title is only chamino matzah, Sibur Yitzrayim gets integrated into it, but does not get in the title, which implies that it is somehow, right, a subset of, sublimated into the value set of matzah maror, right? Right, sorry, chametz and matzah, right? Or specifically matzah in this case, right? And that is bolstered by the fact the Rambam's language is be'oto halayla. Good. Now.
All those three are linked, basically.
Yeah, right? I mean, just the Rambam, right? All those hints we saw in the Pesukim, you look at the Rambam and suddenly you realize, oh, this actually makes a lot of sense, right? Chametz and matzah is the overarching category in Sibur Yitzrayim. It gets included, even though it doesn't get its own. It's not part of the title, but it is part of the mitzvot. And his language is, L'sabir Yitzrayim be'oto halayla. On that night, somehow they're fundamentally linked. Okay. There, someone give me an overview of the first perek. What is very different about the first perek compared to the Koteret, right? What did you notice?
I skimmed over it and it talked about like the rules.
Not all the mitzvot are mentioned here, but because obviously there are more prakim here. But what is very striking? Very good, right? Is that in the Koteret he starts with the destruction of Chametz on the 14th, and then moves to Pesach, right, the 15th. And in the Halachot, he starts with Kol Ochel Kezayin Chametz B'Pesach Mitchilat Lel Chamish Asar Sof Yom Echad V'Eshrim B'Nisan B'Medev Hayakarev. Anyone who eats matzah from the 15th until the 21st day is Chayav Karev. And then Halacha Bet, he tells you that it's also Asar B'Hana'ah, rather you can't benefit. Right, then in Halacha Gimel, he tells you that there's also prohibition of Lo Yerav Elei Matzeh, but you don't get Malkud. Right? In Halacha Dalet, he tells you that Chametz, which you illicitly owned over Pesach, is forbidden to benefit from forever, but that's the Rabbanan. Halacha Hey, he tells you that even Chametz, which is mixed in other things, Tarovet Chametz is Asur. Right? Is Asur. On Pesach, but in Halacha Vav, he clarifies that even though Tarovet Chametz is Asur, it's not Asur at the level of regular Chametz. And therefore, it's an Isur Lav, but not an Isur Karet. Right, a regular prohibition, right? You get Malkut and not spiritual excision. Halacha Zayin, he tells you that if you eat Chametz on Pesach, you violate Lo Ye'achel Chametz. And then all the way in Halacha Chet, he tells you that asar lechol chametz miyom arbasar mechatzar yom ulemala, that you're not letting chametz run this 6 hours of the day on Erev Pesach, and on based on what pasuk, lo tochal olav chametz, right? Linked to what? Karban Pesach, and then quoting the Gemara for anyone who asked. But wait a second, nowadays we don't bring the Karban Pesach. How could it be that it's biblically prohibited to have chametz on Erev Pesach? What's the answer? What does he say at the end of Halacha Chet? Kach lamnu mibiyashmua. We learn from the Misora b'feirish davarzeh that the interpretation is lotochal chametz b'shash u'yah l'shkitat ha-Pesach. Don't eat chametz from the time at which one could shech the Pesach. Shu bein arbaim v'chatzi hayom. Right? So it's not linked to the bringing. It's linked to the potential of bringing. No. But in principle, there's potential. Why don't you have the potential? Do you always have the potential? Do you need a Beit HaMikdash for it?
You can't finish it, then you can't sort it.
Do you need a Beit HaMikdash for Karban Pesach?
Yeah.
No, you don't. You need Mizbeach. Do you need to be Tahor for Karban Pesach?
Or everyone
needs to not be. Very good. So, it's not so clear, right? Right, it's not so clear that we don't even in practice have the possibility. In theory, we don't have a mizbeach, so we can't. But in principle, you do. Correct. So build it there. If you talk to a right sheikh, he'll tell you. Yeah, that's what he wants to do.
not politically, but if we had control of Tzedakah, would we just be able to go?
This is Rabbi Chait's department.
Is that a yes, though?
I said it's Rabbi Chait's department. But just so you know, that yes, one of the earliest, right, one of the earliest machlokot about this, practically, it was about 200 years ago when, yes, Poskim started saying, hey, let's just go build a Mizbech. Forget a bit of Mikdash for now. Let's just build a bit of a Mizbech there and bring Korban Pesach.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be God said, build it. It just be.
Correct. I mean, it's a machloket, but that it was a machloket whether to do it, but yes. Yes, exactly. And then in Halacha Tet, the Rambam says that Nidra Rabbanan is not just the sixth hour and goes through all the extra hours, right? Fourth, fifth, sixth, and we'll get into those details. Okay.
What is the major difference, again, though, between how the Rambam presents Halacha from the Koteret and how the Rambam presents them in the body of the text? Right? Several of you said this to me during Seder. What's the difference? What? The order. Good. What's the order in the Koteret? How does he list them? Chronologically. Right? 14th to 15th. That's obvious. What is the order in the body of the text? So it starts with Chomet on Pesach and then goes to 14th, which sounds like not a chronological organization, but a conceptual one, right? What is the Ikar Mitzvah? Now, that's it. And I think that's a simple answer, right? Is the Rambam is doing, in the Koteret, he's listing them chronologically. So obviously, the prohibition of having Chomet in Erev Pesach comes before the prohibition of having Chomet on Pesach. Whereas in the body, he's telling you, he's making conceptual point. Right, that the principal prohibition is not having chametz and not eating chametz, right? And an extension of that happens to be a prequel, right? But it's right. We can have prequels and we can have sequels, right? This is a prequel. The main book came out, and then you wrote a prequel, right? But still, it's a prequel rather than the main thing, right? And the main thing being what came after, right? It's still, right. The main part of this story is Chametz on Pesach, and then there's a prequel to it, right? There's an additional. Now, is that obvious? It's not obvious. Why is it not obvious?
Good. So I would have argued that, look, it seems to be that in the Koteret, he's writing it chronologically. But then in the body of the text, he's presented conceptually and telling you, by the way, the main prohibition is Chametz on Pesach. It happens to be that we extend it out by a few hours. But that implies that the prohibition of Chametz on Erev Pesach is secondary conceptually. Ah, very good. But Kobe says, but wait a second, they're both Doraita. What do you mean? Why would you think that maybe if one was Doraita, one was Darabanan, one would be central, one would be less? Is there such a thing as two tiers of value on a biblical law? Once God says you can't eat on Erev Pesach, does that not take on independent value such that it's equivalent? What's the answer? Oh, good. And now Kobe has led me to what Shira is going to be on tomorrow, which is two questions I want to deal with, which is very good. Very good. So tomorrow what I want to deal with is the following two questions. One is, why is Chametz so strict in the Torah that we have so many prohibitions piled on top of it? Okay, one. The second question is the diuk that we just made in the Rambam right? Meaning, is it the case that you can have central and ancillary mitzvot, both of which are d'oraita? Right, both of which are minatara. Because clearly derabanan you can, right? Clearly derabanan you can say you have the primary prohibition which don't do malacha, let's say, and then we have the derabanan to protect you and not do malacha, right? But in chametz you have this weird phenomenon where it almost sounds like, or maybe it is, that despite the fact that the prohibition of chametz on Pesach and the prohibition of chametz on Erev Pesach are both biblical, nevertheless, one of them seems to be right, primary, and the other one is ancillary or protective geder. But that's very weird because the protective geder is itself d'oraita. Doesn't that make it intrinsically important? That's what I want to deal with tomorrow. Those two questions. And after we've done those two introductory questions, we will move to starting the Masechta. Okay? So that's what we'll do tomorrow. Mordechai, you get the last word, yeah? Yes.
Thing is that you look at the functions of what what the title does, what the tarot would do, and what the functions of it does. Where the title is all about capturing what affects people the most, what people would notice first.
Okay.
So, during the time of roundabout, people would bring the. This was supposed to be a handbook, you know? So.
No, yes and no, because it's a handbook for all time, right? I mean, that's the whole point of Mishnah Torah, right? It's not practical. It's all, it's a compendium all of Torah, including, right, hence the Karbana.
It's a handbook for all time, but it's also a handbook for
time that was still, okay, so what? You don't think in a handbook you would want to... So why in the body of the text would you not have a practical organization? Okay, good, right? So it could be that in the... So it could be very practical, right? It could be that, listen, you once you tell them what it is and they know what it is in order, then you can sort of mix around the order in a way that makes sense. It's possible. It's possible, right? But still, I think, so why does it make more sense the other way? It makes sense if there's a conceptual organization to it where what happens in the 15th is should be primary and put to the front. You could have just said, don't eat on the 14th, don't eat on the 15th.
Well, yeah, to understand your job, if you want to actually get into the details of it, then there needs to be understanding what's actually promising. But if you're going, but if you're consulting it as a handbook, then there has to be.
Okay, Yacholia. Okay, Shkoyach, guys.